Welcome to Practical Rambling Fathers. This is Father Brian.
This is Father T.
And today we continue with the, what Sunday are we on?
Fifth
Sunday.
Of Lent.
Of Lent. So, Auter Gaudete. Still in the Gospel of John, John 12, verse 12 through 33, 20. Chapter 12, verse 20 through 33. So
correct.
We'll read this and then we'll do a little bit of study on it. Some of the Greeks who had come to worship at the Passover feast came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, there also will my servant be. The Father will honor whoever serves me. I am troubled now, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour, but it is for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd there heard it and said it was thunder. But others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this, indicating the kind of death he would die. Boom. So we have to first put ourselves in John's context here. John is now making his motion towards Jerusalem, going up to Jerusalem for his passion. So he has turned in end of chapter 11 into chapter 12 towards focusing on his death, essentially. So that's where we come in at this juncture. Father Tay, what do you got?
Yeah, and there's just a lot to unpack. I'm just reading the whole part where it says, you know, after the Pharisees remarked, like, hey, the whole world has gone after him, meaning they were kind of jealous of Jesus and the work that he's done, some Greeks appear. All of a sudden, Jesus goes off and says, hey, now is the time, the hour has come, the Son of Man to be glorified. So was it anything particular special about the Greeks that Jesus will make this kind of bold proclamation in front of everyone? No. It was because having the Greeks there was fulfilling the main goal of Jesus, was to unite all children underneath one God, right? The reason Jesus is coming to the world was to bring all the sheep, right? The lost, the Gentiles, even those who are not of the fold, to come back and to belong to one fold. That's why when the Greeks came, he says, yep, now I can do work. Now is the time. It has already started. The lost sheep and everyone else is coming to see what the Lord has to offer, and I'm going to be a spokesperson for my Father.
So for John's gospel, it's super important. The hour has come. Back at the beginning of John's gospel, Jesus tells Mary at the first sign at the wedding of Cana, my hour has not come. And so now that his hour has come, that's a super important thing, because John's gospel in a particular way so shows that Jesus is always in control and command of the given realities of where he's headed, where he's at, where he's going.
Wonderful.
So Jesus elaborates on the mystery of what this hour means. using the grain of wheat, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. As a seed is placed in the ground, and we don't know if it's coming up or not, so the Son of Man is placed in the ground, and the resurrection happens from that.
Correct. Which is the first mention of the topic of the resurrection, right? That his body will die and the soul will rise again. But with Jesus' death and resurrection, he reunites both body and soul together. So this is the first time we hear in the history of faith, and it's also the first time that we see this type of miracle. And so the commentaries speak about this, right? The movement from death to resurrected life provides kind of like the basic pattern, right? So in order for us, for Jesus to die, it'll bear much fruit because many will be converted. They will see that his life was meaningful. Jesus was different than any other prophets. He taught with authority, and they knew that this was the Son of God. So by him dying, right, it produced much fruit, but also he rose from the dead. Like from last weekend, whoever believes in him will have eternal life. This is what Jesus does, right? He destroys his temple and raises up on the third day. That's what he's doing. By destroying this physical body, all right, he's gaining a more glorified and resurrected body.
So something that Father Tay, it's the basic pattern for Christian life. Dive into that a little bit. What does that mean? Married, priesthood, religious life, your life is no longer your own.
Correct.
If you are a bachelor, you no longer are.
Yep.
Your life that you would have had as a single person is no longer a thing.
Yep.
You are now merged. So
it's no longer just parties and drinking.
Well, it's not that. It's just your life is not your own. Your life is a gift to be given. And so you are the gift to be given. And
yes.
So the Christian life,
it's about life and service.
Well, it's about this death.
Mm.
It's about this death. And the life that I have is not a life that I would have had without Jesus.
Yep.
Like without my death, there's a sense of like, I can't do. St. Paul will say, right, I'm casting off the old self and putting on the new self. Yeah. Like it's this constant casting off of my selfishness and placing my selflessness that Christ does in me,
yes,
good that Christ does in me, of his good work. So I no longer live for myself, but for him who died and rose again for us.
Yes.
So like this is the Christian thing. This is the Christian thing. You don't have a family unless you can die to yourself. You're not mature unless something's more important than you in your life. Mm-hmm. Like this is the Christian life. Like we just, with God's grace, we die to self to live for the other. And that's what that means is, we had a rector that would say that the life and death and life is every single day. And I'm like, I don't know if that's true. And he's like, it's true. Like die to yourself and live for others. And I was like, oh, okay.
That makes sense.
And then I was like, but anyways, I found it. Like it's a true thing of our life. Like the sacrament of marriage, the sacrament of priesthood, the call to religious life, like all of those.
Correct.
We don't have our life that we would have had if we didn't say yes to our own death.
And how much more life we gained from doing that, from giving it up and living for Jesus alone.
So going into that, right, whoever loves his life loses it.
Yep.
And whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. That's so weird. Here the term world means human beings and their world as they are rebellious towards God. So that's what that means. And under the spiritual power of sin. So to hate life in this world does not mean that you should hate our earthly existence as such. Rather, it means detachment from sin and all things in life that lead us away from and cause us to rebel against God. If we embrace the attitudes that Jesus prescribes and put them into practice, we will preserve our life for eternal life. So it's to hate the things of sin in this life, the worldliness of the world, mm-hmm. and to persevere in grasping for this eternal life that the Lord gives us and has us cling to.
Awesome.
Yeah. So Jesus is going to his cross and resurrection, and that's the path that is in his mind when he says, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will my servant be. Mm-hmm. And this is the crazy reality of the Christian life. Mm-hmm. The way of the cross with the sacrificial love and the dying of self-centeredness it entails is only the only way for discipleship. So you look at the cross and you go, if that's love, I don't know what love is. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. This all-out effort of a most innocent divine being who is just showing humanity how much he's willing to suffer, to take sin upon himself, like, that's for sure. But like, you, how much he's willing to love you, to the point of the self-sacrificial love and dying of self-centeredness. So that's what John is coming into grips with. What we have to come into grips with is his cross and resurrection. I don't know. I like to avoid the cross. I like to complain about crosses in my life instead of just pick them up mm-hmm. and carry them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is a great segue, because that's what Jesus does in the next segment of this gospel reading, right? Where Jesus says, I am troubled now. Wait, hold on. You are the Son of God. Why are you troubled, right? It's the same scene that we see in the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus is trying with all his might, right, to submit himself to the will of the Father. Because it's a scary thing. Like, Jesus feels it in his humanity. He's like, okay, this too is also difficult. Father, give me the strength so that I can do this, right?
And then, like, right before that, the Father will honor whoever serves me.
Yes.
That it's not an optional, reality.
Mm-hmm. And that's the cool part. Is Jesus is showing through this dialogue that He has already chosen. He's asking for more graces and more support for him. Because he says, it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Right? What does that mean? That means he already knows what the Father is asking of him, and he fully consents. He's willing to do what God has asked of him. And he says, Father, glorify your name, which means I have already placed my consent, and I will do what you have asked of me. God hears this and responds accordingly, right? He says, a heavenly voice responds to Jesus, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. So people are freaking out, like, who is this voice, right? That's the voice. They thought it was the angel of the Lord. But it's really the Father hearing Jesus' prayer and affirming him, saying, yes, thank you for your yes. I will give you life for it, right? I'll give you new eternal life. But it's a kind of unfortunate where the people didn't quite understand of how beautiful that was.
Because I don't think we understand.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's like, holy smokes. Jesus prayed this. God answered right away.
Yeah.
Right? This is a great time. This is a great passion in our faith. And so,
what was I going to say? Oh, the whole entire glorify it. This is an important thing. The Father says, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. That is baptism, mm-hmm. which is when he like first glorifies beginning of Jesus' public ministry. Jesus has not done anything to per se please the Father. Mm-hmm. So in our baptism, we already are pleasing to God. We might not be acting like pleasing to God, but God has created us good, mm-hmm. you know, inmost being. So
correct.
We are good.
Yes.
Regardless of if we haven't been acting like it or not. And so there's forgiveness there. But that I have glorified it and will glorify it again. There's a lot of things that the Lord has done make us look at him.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the right word. To make us realize that we are good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yep.
Maybe there isn't. Maybe that's difficult to hear.
Yeah.
But
that's why Jesus says, like, that voice wasn't for me. I already know, well, I'm well grounded in my identity as the Father, but that voice is for you.
It's the Son. Right. It's for us to know that Jesus is who he says he is.
Yeah. And plus, we need to hear it constantly, right? We're living in a world of sin. It's easy to forget that we're loved. It's easy to forget that we're good.
Super easy.
Mm-hmm. And so, and that's why, like, the same thing that you talked about, how hard it is sometimes to hear the good news. I love the people's reaction, right? So here's Jesus revealing the innermost secrets of between the Father and the Son. What's
Trinity.
Going on in this
Trinity conversation?
Yeah, yeah, in this kind of inner conversation. And let me find the page. He said, "Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." Right. So he was indicating what kind of death he would die. So the crowd answers him. This is where I think it's kind of humorous. "We have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?" They just heard a voice from heaven. And Jesus saying, "This voice was meant for you." I don't know about you, man, but when the angel, the voice of the Lord comes down from heaven like that, that's...
We're thick-headed.
Yeah, yeah, that's God. I don't know why you think it's someone else or...
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, so it's kind of humorous of how that happens. Like, because in their minds, they have this strict idea of what the Messiah should do and should be. Let's be real. All of us fall into that trap. Because it said the Son, the Messiah remains forever.
Never.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
What?
This is my Jesus. This is not that. This is not the God I know.
Hold on.
Our God is very complex, more than just what we make of him, right?
Complex. Meaning,
Well,
he's utterly simple.
Yes. That's the wrong word to use. What I meant to say is, like, sometimes we have this image of God that we refuse to let go. And so that when people say, when we hear from the gospel being opened and the word being broken forth like this, we're like, "That's not the God I know." We're like, hold on. God is simple, but yet he reveals a lot of who he is.
It's not something your subjective consciousness.
Yeah.
Relates to, but God is objective anyways.
Yep. So that's why, so that's why they say, who is this person? Why is some man must be lifted up?
I think something we need to point out too is when he says lifted up, he's referring to the cross, obviously, which is what we did last week. But that the ruler of this world is the defeat of Satan. This is a fun part.
Yeah.
The ruler of this world for Jesus, especially in God's, in John's gospel, is Satan. C.S. Lewis will say, I think it was C.S. Lewis, says to be agents of sabotage towards the evil one here on earth. So bringing the good news of God.
Yes.
So that's what Jesus is doing on the cross, is he's defeating the Satan, who is given power over the fallen world on account of humanity's fallen rebellion against God. And we talked about this at the very beginning of Lent, by obediently entering into death, as Jesus obediently went into the desert at his baptism, and listened to the Lord instead of doing his thing. Jesus destroys death and the fear of death, by which Satan keeps the human race enslaved. Through the cross, Jesus destroys the power of sin and brings judgment on this world by taking away the sin of the world and reconciling sinners to the Father. So what does that mean? It's the most intriguing thing to study the lives of the martyrs. I can't even. Like, Nero lighting Christians on fire to have light for the Colosseums, or the games, right? The games of vicious animals taking out. And they're like singing for joy and like praising God. Yeah. And everyone's calling for their death and they die. Like, what
brave men.
What type of control do you have over a person if you're like, yeah, kill me.
Zero.
Whatever.
Zero.
Yep. Like, the only thing you can take from me is my life. Okay. Yep. That's literally it. Okay. And if you're not afraid of that, like, governments are like,
we hate this.
We have to kill you.
Yeah. Because you're staying in our way.
Yep. I don't have a I'm going to go through with my threat.
Yep.
Okay. Go through with your debt. Who was it that had there was some saint that was like, I'm not in a hurry to kill myself. Like, I'm not in a hurry to die. You're in a hurry to kill me.
St. Ignatius.
Like, well, it's saint. There's another one.
I know what you're talking about. Well, St. Ignatius was the one that says, I'm ready to die, so you do not interfere.
Yes. But no, this was, it was one of the church fathers. It was so great.
Yeah.
It was like, you're the one that wants to kill me. I don't want to die.
Yep.
But you're the one that wants to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
And the emperor's like, I want to talk about this longer. And he's like, I have time.
Yeah.
You locked me up.
Yep. Yep. Like, I know what you're saying now. Yeah.
Like, you're the one that locked me up. If you want to kill me, great. If you don't, great. But I'm open to conversation, you know? That's not scaring me.
Yeah. This is what the Lord means when he says, sacrifice your own life, there's nothing else to be afraid of. And second of all the deeds that are done in the light will be shown to the light, right? And so, like, with these martyrs, this is where they're getting their strength. They get the pattern of the Christian life. They're ready not to live a life of their own, and they're ready to show the world how good God is. So by them dying, if that's the way to do it, so be it, right? If you lock me up, so be it. I'm not in a rush. I love that. I love what you said. I'm not rushed to die. Oh, you want to have this conversation? Let's do it. I'm already locked up.
I mean, kind of St. Paul was a little bit in a rush. He goes, I'd rather go and be at home with the Lord. But
that's true.
For your sake, I stay here. But
St. Paul was a super apostle, though.
That's right. So kind of wrap it up here. And when I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. He is indicating the kind of death it would be. So he said multiple times, being lifted up. He said last week, being lifted up with the serpent. This week, being lifted up. He reveals his identity as I am. That by gazing on the cross in faith, people will receive eternal life. And the crucified and exalted Jesus, through whom the Father's glorious love shines forth, is the center point to which all will be gathered from their dispersal in sin and shepherd into the divine communion, eternal life in the Father's house.
Nice.
Cool.
Man, my mind's blown. Every time you read Gospel of John, there's just so much to unpack. So I just encourage you, take your time with it. Don't rush. And enter more deeply into this life of prayer, life of sacrifice, life of love. And if there's any still attachments you might have, you're like, hey, I'm afraid of talking about death. Hey, I'm afraid of not quite surrendering to the Lord. Lent is a great time to surrender it. Like, Lord, give me the strength. Give me the humility to say yes.
Yeah, just that invitation that the Lord has for all of us, that we die to our selfishness in order to live for the other and live for him who died and rose again for us.
Amen.
Boom.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in to our podcast. We hope to see you next time.
Stay holy, my friends.